Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen, and today I am joined, as always, with my good friend and co-host Christian Castain, all the way from Georgia. We're going to talk a little bit about the playoffs today, but also joining us for the first time ever is Brian Willis, our good friend who also writes for PSF, a all-around great guy, a volleyball player. I mean, that's okay, I guess. I'm not a big volleyball fan, but, you know, I did write a few articles in high school about my girls' volleyball team that went undefeated one year, and that was a good time. So, I mean, volleyball is not all bad. Brian, how are you?
I'm good, guys. Thanks for having me. Quite the introduction.
Oh, yes. It was a little bit rambling, winding, and pointless.
Yes, it was.
That's the way I like to go. All right, so let's ask you some stuff. Brian, where are you from?
I'm from Fond du Lac, Wisconsin.
Oh, that's cool. Where's that?
That is about an hour south of Green Bay.
All right, so who is your football team?
It's the Green Bay Packers.
Well, that's fantastic. Who's your favorite Packer right now?
Favorite Packer right now has definitely got to be Aaron Rodgers.
Well, that's an obvious question. I shouldn't have asked that.
You shouldn't have asked.
All time.
All time favorite Packer?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Probably Donald Driver.
All right. I don't know who that is, but good for that guy.
Oh,
if Donald Driver's listening, we'd love to have you on the podcast. So let's get right to it. We're going to talk a little bit today about the playoffs, just in general. This will serve as our wild card weekend preview, and then we will go in depth as to who we all have going to the Super Bowl. We'll talk a little bit about that, and then we will see you guys back here on either Monday or Tuesday for our next show. So hopefully you guys enjoy this show, and are you two ready to get going?
Yep.
I'm ready. Let's go.
All right. Yep. Sounds great. You two sound enthusiastic. I like that.
You sound enthusiastic too.
Oh, I do sound enthusiastic. Yeah. Thank you, Chris. Moving on. All right. Let's talk about
That was a joke.
Well, I mean, yes. I laughed. I thought it was good. So let's talk about your team first, Chris. The Rams and the Falcons, and why don't you get us started out? Who do you think's winning this game? How do you see it playing out? Who's kind of the X factor in this game? And then the team you're picking against, how do you see them having a chance to win? And give me a final score, of course.
Well, I don't see the Falcons winning this game. I said all along the Rams will win this game. They're just coached offensively better. They have a better scheme. This is Steve Sarkisian's first year. I know it's the first year with Sean McVay and the Rams too, but they've looked a lot better than Sarkisian and Ryan have this year on play calling. That's really why I have the Rams winning this game. It'll be a close one, but the X factor is Devontae Freeman, because we're hearing this week that he has some type of knee injury. I can't confirm anything about it right now, because I just heard about it earlier. But that'll be huge. I really don't give the Falcons a chance if he's not 100%. I just don't. I have the Falcons winning 29-23. But if
you mean.
I have the Rams winning 29-23, but if Freeman's not playing, I would take them probably about 36-20. I think it will be a blowout.
And then
Freeman's huge.
How would the Falcons win this game?
That's hard. A flip has to be switched offensively. They just have to start scheming better. Ryan has to play better. Matt Ryan is going to be a huge thing. He hasn't played well at all this season. He's been average, mediocre. I think that would be a huge thing for if they're going to have success. He's going to have to play well. Defensively, I'm not worried about it, because I'm pretty sure they can at least hold Gurley back. And that's going to be what matters. Jared Goff's not necessarily going to torch them. It's Todd Gurley that they have to be mostly concerned about.
Brian, your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, I'd have to agree with a lot of points that Chris made. I think the Rams come out on top on this one. The biggest X factor, I think, is going to be Jared Goff and how well he does in a playoff situation, because we haven't seen him here before. A young quarterback and a young coach. The only way the Falcons win is if Goff makes mistakes and the Falcons capitalize on those mistakes and turn them into points.
Right. I think that for me, I alluded to this on our last podcast. I'm taking the Falcons in this game, and I don't have any statistics to back me up, which isn't a good look. And I don't have, but I have logic to back me up. I just think that this Rams team, for as good as they are, most of this roster has never been in the playoffs before. And I think in these kind of scenarios, the Falcons all year have shown time and time again that they can win and perform well offensively and defensively in these kind of big games. So that's why I'm taking the Falcons in this game. Of course, I wouldn't be shocked if the Rams win. I would not be surprised if the Falcons won either. The Rams will obviously win if they've played the way they've been playing and if Matt Ryan doesn't play well. I think that's pretty obvious. I think the Falcons will win because Matt Ryan will play well. I think if Devontae Freeman is healthy, and or I haven't heard about the knee injury. That's news to me. But I think that could be a huge factor, but I still believe until I see it on the field that he's healthy. So for right now, I'm going to say that if Devontae Freeman is a part of the game plan and if Julio Jones are a big part of the game plan, I think that the Falcons are going to win this game. I think the X factor is going to be Matt Ryan, just because if he plays really well, I think the Falcons will win. But if he plays badly, like he has at points this year, then the Falcons, I think, will lose this game.
News coming out of the Atlanta locker room is Freeman will play on Sunday, that he's just been limited for practice today and likely tomorrow.
All right. Yeah, so that I kind of believe he'll be running full go if they're keeping him out of practices to save him for the playoff game. And I'm going to take the Falcons in this game with a score of, I obviously did a picks piece, 38-35. So I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think that Sarkisian at points this year via the Atlanta Falcons offense has been explosive. I think they're going to pull that out for one more game, and I think they win this game. Let's move on to our next game, which involves, I think it's the most intriguing game of the week between the Jaguars and the Bills. And we'll start with you, Brian. Who? Same questions as above. Who's going to win this game? Why? Who's kind of the X factor, and why would the other team win?
I think it's the Jaguars in a landslide. It's not even going to be close. LeSean McCoy might not even play this game. It sounds like he's going to, though, but I don't think he's going to be a big factor. Blake Bortles has been great playing at home, and this game is in Jacksonville. Let's see. The Jaguars' defense has been unbelievable this season. Calais Campbell plugging up the middle, getting sacks. You can't pass against them. X factor in this game for me is going to be Leonard Fournette. He has to produce this game, and I think he will. It's just a matter of time before he breaks through the Bills' defense. He's going to batter him. My score prediction is 31-13 Jaguars.
All right. Chris, your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, I have the Jaguars winning this game as well. I think Leonard Fournette is a big factor in this game, as Brian just said. But it's really Blake Bortles, because Blake Bortles has had good games or okay games. Okay games to us are good games to him, but when he has bad games, they're historically bad. They're 3-4 interceptions a game. I don't know which Blake Bortles I'm going to see, and I've said this all along. I'm going to take the Jaguars, but Leonard Fournette is the X factor in this game because he's going to have to play well. He's going to have to be at 100%, no doubts about it. Like I said, and I'm not worried about the defense. I trust the defense. I always have. Or I have for at least several weeks. I won't say always. But like I said, I'm going to take the Jaguars, not by a blowout. I'm 23-16.
For me, again, I'm going to have to go opposite of both you guys. I really think that the Bills will win this game. And part of it is just because this is the first time they've been in the playoffs for such a long time. I think they understand the magnitude of this game. And I think that they're not going to come out and totally lay an egg. I think it's going to be very close. I think if Jacksonville wins, I think it'll be a very close win. I wouldn't pick them to win by more than 3 points. I think that the Bills have the best chance to win because I think my X factor is going to be Tyrod Taylor. He has played very well all year. He hasn't lit up the scoreboard, but I think this is a game where they're going to really cut him loose. And I know it's a very good Jaguars defense, but I think he can score them enough points. I think he can lead at least 2 touchdown drives and get him into field goal range enough in Jacksonville where they can win this game. It'll be a grinded out, kind of ugly looking game, but I just don't trust Blake Bortles. If Blake Bortles plays well, the Jaguars will win this game, but in the biggest stages when people are watching the Jaguars, Blake Bortles has always melted down. Look at last week against the Titans. Most of the nation's eyes were on that game because the Titans were fighting for a playoff spot. And what does Blake Bortles do when he could drive down and beat the Tennessee Titans? On like the second throw of the drive, he throws an interception to the linebacker who has no one around him. I cannot believe in Blake Bortles, and that's why I'm taking the Bills 23-21.
Hold on a second before we move on. We can't say he's played bad on all the big stages, because look at what he did in Seattle. He played well when they went to Seattle, and it hasn't been that long. It's been a month or two, but he played well then. He has his games. It doesn't matter if it's on the big stage or not. He doesn't care. Because when he's going to have a bad game, it's just going to happen, big stage or not.
Brian, did you give us your thoughts on this game already? I got brain scrambled.
Yeah, I did. Just something to go along with Chris there. He also played really well against Houston. I think he had 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions against Seattle, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions against Houston, too.
Both bad defenses.
Seattle wasn't at the time.
I would say they're bad defenses.
Okay, well, the Seattle one I'll give you, but at the time he played, I know what game you're talking about with the Houston game. That was when Houston was looking like the way they finished the year as one of the worst teams in the league. So
yeah, it was a late season game, you're right.
Right, so, I mean, you guys do have a point. He could show up. I just don't trust Blake Bortles. That's why I'm picking the Bills. Am I crazy not to trust Blake Bortles?
No. I wouldn't trust Blake Bortles, or I don't necessarily trust him, but at the same time, I have seen them play well on the big stage. I'm just saying it doesn't necessarily, just because it's a big stage game, doesn't mean he's not going to show up. Because he has shown up on the big stage, but chances are he's probably not going to show up. I'm just predicting that he is.
All right, let's move on to the Tennessee Titans and the Kansas City Chiefs. And we'll start with you, Chris. What's the story of this game going to be? The same questions as we've asked for the rest of these games. I'll just let you take it away.
Really, really, it's going to come down to, I know we could say Alex Smith, but Kareem Hunt. I think the three key players, Kareem Hunt and Alex Smith, I'll go two players, because those are the ones that really matter, because Alex Smith hasn't been as aggressive, especially in that big losing streak that they had of six games. But he's going to be the key factor in this game. Is he going to go back to being more aggressive in this game? I think he will for this one game. I don't think he'll continue it. But really, because I trust their defense against the Tennessee Titans offense, their offense hasn't been that great all season. It's been just kind of average. They win games. Tennessee, they barely win games. That's what they do. They're a 500 team. They're not. They're probably under 500 team, but they magically hit. They won one game, and against, and they didn't play well against the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they made themselves a playoff spot. I don't think this is a very good playoff team. To be honest, this is the least competitive game of this weekend. I have the Chiefs winning 33-20.
So, what about you, Brian?
Yeah, I think this is going to be one of the games this weekend that's, besides the Jaguars and Bills, that's going to be the furthest, the biggest difference in the score. I don't see much of an issue with the Chiefs' offense. It basically runs itself. The X factor in this game is going to be the Chiefs' defense and how many times they can get Marcus Mariota to make mistakes. If you get Alex Smith enough chances during a game, you're going to win the game. If you can't capitalize on those mistakes, it's going to be tough. But when you've got a quarterback like Alex Smith and a running back like Kareem Hunt and a wide receiver like Tyreek Hill, it's easy. And against the Titans defense, they make offenses look good. And it's not going to be that difficult to beat the Tennessee Titans in a playoff game, especially when the Titans are on the road. I see the Chiefs winning 30-17.
Right. All right. That sounds about right, but I'm taking the Chiefs in this game. No surprise. I think what you guys said are all valid points. I think the fact that people are saying that the Chiefs are going to run away with this game is assuming their defense is better than it is. I think people are kind of forgetting that the Chiefs have had consistently one of the worst defenses in the league all year. They allowed Paxton Lynch and the Denver Broncos to come back on them last week at the end of the week. I know that a lot of those players were their bench players, but still they had some starters on the field, and they don't have much depth on the defense in general. I obviously think the Chiefs will win this game, but I think it might be closer than people think. I'm taking a score line of 37-27, and I think that if the Titans throw the ball and run the ball with Derrick Henry, they will be able to put up yards on what is a bad Chiefs defense. So that's where I'm going with this scoreline. Is that crazy to think? I feel like people are overrating the Chiefs defense.
Well, actually, I was being conservative because this could be a 20-25 point game, in my opinion. I don't think this is close at all. I know they're not the best defense, but for sure. But the playoffs are a totally different animal. Once you get into the playoffs, their defense is going to be better than it was against Denver. I can pretty much guarantee it.
But that's not the only game.
Right, but I'm still saying it'll be better than – I think it'll be better in the playoffs than it has been recently. They're going to be – they've been preparing for the playoffs. They're going to be ready. I'm not worried about the defense. It'll be ready for this playoff game. It'll be playing better. I'm not saying it's going to be playing great, but it'll play better. I'm not worried.
All right. I think that's fair to think. I feel like people are – putting way too much respect with their Chiefs defense and have totally forgotten that their defense has been really bad all year. All right, moving on to our next game, the Panthers and the Saints, and I'll start with you, Brian. What do you think about this game?
Oh, I can't wait for this game. This is going to be an absolute dogfight. It's Drew Brees against Cam Newton. I mean, where did this Saints offense come from all of a sudden that they have two elite running backs and hardly a receiving core? I mean, Michael Thomas has been a great receiver, but last season they had Michael Thomas and
Brandon Cooks,
and you get rid of Brandon Cooks, and it's like your team got better. You know, Alvin Kamara has been a revelation. It's who would have thought that Kamara? I mean, once they got rid of Adrian Peterson, the offense found their identity. An X factor for this game, the Panthers defense. I mean, just try and stop the Saints offense. That's what they're going to have to do. They're going to have to figure out a way to stop them, and I just don't see it. I think the Saints win this game 34-30.
All right.
You have points there, but I think really the key factor in this game, the X factor, is Marshawn Lattimore. This defense, in my opinion, the Saints defense is one injury away from being below average. And we saw it against the Rams when Marshawn Lattimore went out. The Rams just started putting up points on the Saints. I believe the Rams put up 34 points on the Saints in that game. That was the only game Marshawn Lattimore was out, I believe. He may have been out the next game, but that's the biggest factor in this game, because I think, like I said, it doesn't mean I'm saying that he's going to get injured or somebody's going to get injured. I'm saying they're one injury away from being average or below average. And Marshawn Lattimore is clearly the defensive rookie of the year. If he's not, then somebody should be fired. They really should be, because he's clearly the defensive player, defensive rookie player of the year, excuse me. I personally, and as far as the Carolina Panthers side goes, Cam Newton is similar. For me, I say similar things about him as I do Blake Bortles. When Cam Newton plays bad, he plays really bad. We saw that against the Falcons. One touchdown to three interceptions, 10 consecutive missed completions. That's completely unacceptable. That's on him. That is not on anybody else but him. For those reasons, I'm going to say nobody's going to get injured or nothing. I'm going to take the Saints 33-19. I don't think it'll be very close. It'll be close through two or three quarters, and then the Saints will pull away and eventually win.
I agree with most everything you said, Chris. I think the Saints defense is deeper than you think it is. I think that the Rams are a very good offense, and that was one game. The very next game, which Alvin Kamara played, they were able to shut down their opponent. You have Kenny Vaccaro, who has had a great year. You have Cam Jordan, who's also had a great year. You have Manti Te'o, who is playing like a beast for some reason at the linebacking core. You have a lot of pieces on this defense. Yes, it goes down a great deal, but I don't think if they were to suffer an injury in the playoffs that it'd hurt them. I don't think they will, and I think you're absolutely right with Cam Newton. I think that right now I take a lot into consideration as far as picking playoff games as to how a team is playing going in, and his last 2 weeks of a regular season were abysmal. He had 4 interceptions and just did not look like the quarterback we saw for most of the year. So I'm taking the Saints about the same score as you, 35-17. Okay, so now that we've covered, so that was your divisional round recap. Now we're just going to kind of all go through, thank you, Chris, our wild card preview. And now we are all just going to kind of go through our brackets game by game and go ahead and all the way to the Super Bowl, say who we have winning. We'll go around. I'll go first just so you guys kind of know the way I kind of envision this going. And then we will all go around once or twice and ask each other kind of some questions about why we have certain teams doing certain things. And yeah, that'll be the rest of our show. It should be fun. Are you guys ready to go?
Yeah, let's go.
All right. Yep. Let's start with the divisional round. Of course, I picked the Buffalo Bills to win, so they go to New England for me. That's a no-brainer. I think that they could play the Patriots tight if it came down to it, but I'm taking the Patriots 35-17. The next game, Kansas City goes to Pittsburgh. I think Kansas City has played extremely well to round out the season. I think they continue to stay hot from the Tennessee game, and I think in the shootout, 37-31, they upset the Pittsburgh Steelers in Heinz Field. We don't know if Antonio Brown will be back for that game yet or not, but if they don't have him in that game, that's a major setback for the Steelers. And even if he does play, I think I would still take the Chiefs, 37-31. On the NFC side of things for the divisional round, the Atlanta Falcons will go to play the Philadelphia Eagles. A weird low-scoring game here just because even though the Eagles don't have a quarterback, they have a very good defense, and I can't discount that. So 19-10 Falcons. Then New Orleans would go to Minnesota. I think people are completely disrespecting the Vikings and completely disrespecting Case Keenum. I think the Vikings win that game 27-17, the conference title games, them being Kansas City, as they did at the beginning of the year, going into New England. New England's not going to lose twice to the same team and a team that embarrassed them at home. I think New England wins that game 41-27 and goes to the Super Bowl. And then on the other side of things, the Falcons and the Vikings. The Falcons, it's a magical run, but the Vikings are just way more talented, and they run over them 37-13. Vikings-Patriots Super Bowl, I have the Vikings winning it 24-20. Chris makes the good point that an MVP has never won a Super Bowl. I think Brady could easily win the Super Bowl, but just so I didn't really want to pick the Patriots because I feel like the Vikings defense could really hurt that Patriots offensive line. So I took the Vikings, and I think the Vikings win the Super Bowl in their home stadium.
All right.
Brian, you go next. Yeah.
All right. Boy. I took the Jags over the Bills, and where does that put me? The Jags against the Patriots. I think that's an easy one for the Patriots.
No, but it depends on who you took in the 4 and 5. Do you have this written down?
No, I don't.
All right. How about this? You write it down. Just remember that the lower seed goes to the higher seed team. Whereas, Chris, you already have yours written. Why don't you go through yours?
Yeah, I'll say I'll go ahead and consider mine if I figure it out. For me, it's pretty simple. I'm going to go through the NFC, then the AFC, and then I'll go through the two Super Bowls. Or through the one Super Bowl, excuse me. Rams, I had, of course, the Rams at the Philadelphia Eagles. I have this score 26-14 going the Rams side, but honestly, I think it could be 30-14. I just don't think Nick Foles is going to give them much of a chance. I know what I said yesterday, but I just don't think it's going to happen. I think it will take some magic for the Eagles to win that game. The New Orleans Saints at the Minnesota Vikings is the second game. This game was the toughest game to pick out of all the playoff games combined, even the Pittsburgh and Patriots game. I'm picking the Saints in this one 27-25. I just think with Drew Brees' experience, that's going to be a key factor into them winning this game. And of course, moving on to the NFC Championship, the Saints at the Rams. The Rams have way too much talent on both sides of the football. I'm not worried about their special teams too much in this game if they make it this far. I'm taking the Rams 42-17 in that game. Just because of the talent level, there's such a difference, in my opinion. I'm going to take the Rams over the Saints any day, pretty much. Even with the experience factor. Moving on to the AFC. One second. Jacksonville Jaguars at the Pittsburgh Steelers. I have this pretty much a flip flop. The Pittsburgh Steelers are so much better than they were at week three when these teams played. I have it 33-9, which is the opposite of the score that was in the regular season. And that's the Steelers winning that game. I don't think it'll be very close. And the Chiefs at the Patriots. You can't discount Tom Brady when it comes to anybody except for the Patriots or possibly an NFC team. I just can't. So I'm taking the Patriots 39-26. I think there's a chance it's close. And it may be a little, it may be 39-20, but I'm going to say it's going to be fairly close. Of course, in the AFC Championship, it's the Patriots at, or the Steelers at Patriots. I have the Patriots winning 35-28. Oh my gosh. The reason being is I think the Steelers lost their chance at the AFC in that week 14 game when they played at home, and Ben Roethlisberger choked up the game at that last second with the whole fake spike. That's why I have the Patriots winning, really. I think these teams are very evenly matched. I think it'll be a last-second win. And, of course, Patriots at – or not. It's Patriots versus Rams in the Super Bowl. I have the Rams winning 34-29. Their talent level is why. I'm not really going to go into that one. And, of course, I still factor in Tom Brady being the MVP. And MVPs just don't do that well in the Super Bowl the next day as far as bringing out results. So that's why I have the Rams 34-29 in the Super Bowl.
All right. Brian.
Yeah. I'll break it down here for you guys. I took the Chiefs over the Titans. And in the AFC side, and the Jags over the Bills in the wild card. We talked about that earlier. So that gives us a divisional round matchup of the Chiefs having to travel to
New England
try to beat the Patriots. It's not going to happen. It seems like every year New England wants it worse than the previous year. And they loaded up again this year, and it's going to be tough for anybody to go in there and beat them. And the Chiefs aren't going to do it. And then the Jaguars at Pittsburgh, even if Antonio Brown doesn't play, I mean, you've seen that they have wide receivers that grow on trees in Pittsburgh. Everybody can catch the ball there. And Ben Roethlisberger at home is great. So I'll take Pittsburgh over the Jaguars. The AFC championship game, Pittsburgh is going to have to travel to New England. I don't see anybody in the AFC beating the Patriots. They figure out a way to beat you. And they always say they take away your best weapons. And they showed that for most of the season. For the NFC side, I've got the Rams going to Minnesota after they beat the Falcons, and I'll take the Vikings to beat the Rams. I think that'll be a good game, though. It's you can put it down that that could be a potential overtime playoff game, you've got two great defenses. You've got the Rams who who's their best receiver? Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods. And you're going to have a great defensive back and core to cover a team that just thrives on the running back. If you need to pass to beat the Vikings, and the Rams don't do that. They passed to Todd Gurley, the running back, but I just see the Vikings winning. And then I have the Saints traveling to Philadelphia. With Nick Foles there, I just don't see the Eagles going far. I'll take the Saints over the Eagles. The Saints will have to travel to Minnesota for the NFC Championship game. And I really, really believe in the Saints this year. I think they'll beat the Vikings. And then you get a Saints-Patriots Super Bowl in Minnesota. And I'll take the Saints in a shootout. 35-32.
Wouldn't the Saints go to Minneapolis?
Yeah, I think you got the seeding a little bit wrong there. Because if the Rams won, they would go to the highest seed, to the lowest seed. So they'd go to Minnesota, and New Orleans would go to Philadelphia, right?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Oh, okay. Chris, what did you mean?
I thought it was opposite. I was thinking it was
all right, the Chris.
Rams would go to. All right. Well, I'm.
I'll let you start. Go ahead and fire away a question.
That's no big deal. So really. It's really. What? Hold on a second. Brian, you go first. Eric, you go first.
All right, Brian, let me ask you this question. Brian, so let me ask you here. I noticed that both of you guys really don't believe in the Vikings. Why don't you believe in the Vikings?
Let's see. Quarterback play? I would find it incredibly hard to believe that their third string quarterback is going to win them a playoff game.
But he's played so well all year. Case Keenum has had an excellent year. He's only thrown 7 interceptions. You can't say he hasn't played any defenses because the Vikings have played all the best defenses this year. They've played the Rams. He beat down on their defense. The Vikings have played everyone this year. The Ravens defense he tore apart. The Rams defense he tore apart. The Panthers defense. He had a good game against. Even though they lost that game, he had a really good game in that game. Threw for 280 yards and 2 touchdowns. He's only had 7 interceptions all year. And I don't understand why people are disrespecting Case Keenum other than the reason he has the name Case Keenum like that. And that doesn't make any sense to me. And I don't think that's a fair judgment of quarterback play. And anyone who is picking against the Saints, the Vikings in at least the divisional round against a Rams or Saints team that I think they could easily beat. And people are just, I feel like they're being disrespectful to the Vikings because the Vikings are a good team, and I think it's a cop-out to say that the only reason they're not going to win is because Case Keenum is playing quarterback. Like,
well,
that's a cop-out because he's played well all year long.
What you said about Case Keenum, that's true. It's the name Case Keenum that scares everybody. That's such a cop out. But I'm just saying that's the reason. I'm not skipping around it. But really, it's his past. We've seen him.
He's never played in the playoffs before.
Right, but he's played in regular season, and we've seen him.
Right, and then he's had his best year this year.
I'm not saying it's the logic we should do it. I'm not saying it should be it's a good reason. I'm just saying that that is, it happens. And that's part of the thinking is we've seen Case Keenum fell in the past, and we're worried that he might do it again in the playoffs. The playoffs are it'll be a first time, and I see the reason to be worried about him. Just based off of past years. Now, if you're just basing it off of this year, which is what we should be doing, we should be just basing it off this year.
Okay, hold on.
Shouldn't be worried about it.
I have an excellent example for both of you. Counter argument.
Yep.
Jared Goff. Like, you guys think he's going to go to the conference championship game. Chris, you have him winning the Super Bowl. He had a really bad first year under Jeff Fisher. And then he had a really good year this year. And this is his first year in the playoffs. How are Case Keenum and Jared Goff any different? They literally came from the exact same situation.
Because we've seen Case Keenum do it for longer. We've seen him fail for longer periods.
Oh, my God. It's the same. Oh, you guys are going to. All right. Your guys is lost. When I totally call this, I'm just saying, like, people are disrespecting Case Keenum, but people forget that Jared Goff and Case Keenum are in literally the exact same situation. Like, it's absurd to me.
That's not true.
How? Okay, let me put it in perspective for you. Both have struggled earlier in their career with bad coaching. They get to a good coach and both perform at a high level. Both have never been to the playoffs before, and both are now in the playoffs. I just don't understand how you guys can discount what we've seen from him all year when you can just easily sweep away the fact that Jared Goff has never played in the playoffs, and that the only reason he's been any good this year is because of Sean McVay. It just, it's not...
That's half the reason.
I don't think that's a fair take to have.
Oh, it may not be, and I'm not telling you wrong when you say it's not a fair take, but that's just a take that I have. I mean, I think for me, it's like I said, I've seen Case Keenum fail for in the past year for a while. It just kind of makes me not want to take Case Keenum now. I'm going with the safe bet. I'm going with the experience in the. When I say the Saints will beat the Vikings, I'm saying that I trust Drew Brees more than I do Case Keenum, and I think that's fair. Now, as far as what you said, I know the reason why I don't trust Case Keenum is not. I know that's not fair, but I just can't. I mean, that's what I think. I mean, I'm not. I can't slap in the truth.
All right. I'll throw it to you now, Brian. Chris. What's your question?
For me, my question for y'all y'all talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers, and me and you've talked about this before, Eric. I just don't understand why. What's it going to get for you to trust them in the playoffs?
Well, they win. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if they went to the conference finals, but until I see them in the big game, until I see them beat the Patriots, until they're in the Super Bowl, I can't pick the Patriots, or until Tom Brady retires, I cannot pick the Steelers to go deep in the playoffs, because yes, they're a talented team, but this year there's especially a cause for concern. Ever since Ryan Shazier went out, their defense is ranked one of the lowest in the league. They have played awful defensively. We don't know if Antonio Brown's going to be the same guy coming off a calf injury that was, from what we're hearing out of Pittsburgh, pretty hard to recover from. Martavis Bryant has been on and off all year. Juju Smith-Schuster is good. Yes. Big Ben is good. Yes. Le'Veon Bell is good. Yes. But they've never had the success in the playoffs. And we've seen it time and time and time again. I trust them to get to the conference finals, but I don't trust them any farther than that.
Yeah, which I know, like I said, we've had this. We've talked about this before, and you never trust them. But against the Chiefs, that's what. I understand if you don't have them winning in Foxborough. I don't either. I'm just wondering why you don't think that they'll make it. And I heard what you said. I agree with you. Antonio Brown is a big concern. It just kind of, it didn't surprise me because you don't pick, you haven't picked New England, or Pittsburgh to win against hardly anybody against in the playoffs, but because you don't trust them. But I was just wondering.
Well, you've answered your own question. I don't trust them. Also, I think that, yes, there's that 2-6 stretch that you can't get out of your head. But, I mean, the Chiefs are playing well right now. They could very easily revert to being what they were. But I trust Alex Smith more than I trust Ben Roethlisberger. And I could be completely wrong. I mean, people get way hyped about the Chiefs every year and then get disappointed every year. Maybe I'm just falling into that trap. The Chiefs and the Steelers are basically the same team, if you think about it.
Sure.
A team that goes in with way high expectations that never really quite pan out right. So, I mean, it could go either way, but I just trust the Chiefs more than I trust the Steelers.
Brian, you want to chime in on it?
Like, you want me to give you a question?
Well, you want to chime in on our question. Or ask us your own question. Go for it.
Well, no, your comparison to the Chiefs and the Steelers, I get where you're coming from. I think, I personally trust the Steelers more because of coaching. I think that the thing that ends up shooting the Chiefs in the foot is Andy Reid, quite frankly. Down the stretch, even you saw it in the season, down the stretch, Kareem Hunt was killing it. And then there was a stretch of games where he had 8 carries, 9 carries, 11 carries, and then 9 carries again. And then after that, he went back up to 25 carries. It didn't make any sense, really. And Andy Reid likes to goof around like that in the playoffs, too. So as far as trust goes, I trust the Steelers more than the Chiefs. But how much of a factor do you guys think that Antonio Brown missing that first, possibly missing that game in 2 weeks is going to be? Because I don't really think it's a factor.
That's huge.
Be Pittsburgh at home. Don't forget, they have Juju Smith and Martavis Bryant, and they've shown that that offense can be productive without Antonio Brown. I realize you guys both have Pittsburgh winning that game, but you both said it was a factor. I'm just wondering how much of a factor you think it is.
Huge. I mean, I get that you think that Martavis Bryant is the same guy he was in 2014, but if you look at him this year, he's not. He had a good game against the Patriots, but other than that, he hasn't been impressive this year. Yes, Juju Smith-Schuster can fill in that role, but if you don't have Antonio Brown, I mean, that's a major loss. I mean, look at him. He is undoubtedly, no one debates it, he is undoubtedly the best wide receiver in the league right now. And he was getting MVP hype. I mean, if you take away one of your team's most valuable players, yes, I think that's a huge factor in the playoffs. I'll throw it to you, Chris.
Yeah, I think it's a huge factor as well. But when it comes time, when I predicted that game, I think Brown will be playing. That's why I predicted the Pittsburgh Steelers to win. If I didn't think he was going to play, then I would probably have to lean towards the Kansas City Chiefs, because I think he's such a huge factor. I mean, you have to look at it. Basically, what Eric said, he's the one or two, the first or second best wide receiver in the league. Had the most yards, had the most touchdowns this season. I think it's clearly a huge factor. Could the Pittsburgh Steelers squeeze by the Chiefs without him? Maybe. But I think it would be very close. But like I said, I think it's a huge factor in what they do offensively. Because he's going to get double coverage every time. You're going to have at least two guys on him. Now you have, if he's not there, they're either going to put him on Juju Smith-Schuster or they're going to spread him out, which, of course, you know what that means. So, yeah, I think, like I said, I think it's a huge factor. No question in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, Brian, do you have any more questions?
Yeah, I have a really good question, actually. Eric, when you went online to purchase a keyboard, did you find the loudest one?
I actually found the best mic. Yes, I do type. I like to have my stats in front of me. I'm a big statistics guy. But you know, I mean, yes, I did choose some. I do type very loudly, Brian. What about you? Do you have a loud typing keyboard?
No, I don't.
Oh, all right.
Well.
Maybe my mic just isn't good enough. I don't know.
Well, the laptops normally don't have loud keyboards.
Yeah. Well, I just type loudly. Anyways.
Aggressively.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're not gonna type with gusto, how are you? Like, don't type at all.
Yeah.
Get off my lawn.
I'm still perplexed that you took the Bills over the Jaguars, though. I
don't trust Blake Bortles at all.
Well, I'm not really.
If LaShawn McCoy definitely does not play, would you change your pick?
Maybe, but at the same time, that's how much I don't trust Blake Bortles. I think he could throw two pick sixes, and that would lose them the game. Like I just don't trust Blake Bortles at all. It has nothing to do with a lot of faith in the Bills' offense. It has everything to do with a lot of faith in the Bills' defense, which has been coached extremely well and has played way above their talent level all year long, and the fact that Blake Bortles could implode at any minute.
Yeah, that is definitely possible, which is scary when you pick the Jaguars. I know I've picked the Jaguars multiple times this year, and they lose because Blake Bortles throws three interceptions. But they'll win when I don't pick them, so they'll probably lose this game, and Blake Bortles will probably do what you said, either throw two pick sixes or a fumble and a pick six or something. But here's the thing. If Blake Bortles throws two pick sixes, I guarantee you the Jaguars will lose that game. I guarantee it.
All right.
I think we could all say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not too far-fetched.
All right. I think that's all the questions I have. Do you guys have any more?
Oh, I'm good. I think we pretty much covered all of mine. What about your?
I'm good.
Well, Brian, it was nice to have you on. Is this your first ever podcast experience?
First podcast experience, not my first radio experience, though.
Oh, well, do tell.
I've been on local radio a couple times, not sports related, though.
NPR?
No, just guest DJ.
All right, well... That's good.
Still pretty cool.
I don't know where I went with that, but I just wanted to humanize Brian Willis, a man who plays volleyball, barely a sport.
Yeah.
But
I'm just like the average person.
Average Joe? Ah, that's not exciting. All right. Well, Brian, thanks so much for joining us. We'd love to have you on another time. This was a lot of fun for us. And Chris, you and me will be back at some point next week, maybe Tuesday, because Monday is packed for me. But yeah, that's the way it's gonna go down. Until then, peace out, guys. See you.